evening in this realm and beyond, you're listening to Paranormal Investigator Radio with your hosts, Peter Leonard, Rich Nicodem, and Dr. David DeProspero.
Well, this is Peter, but what the hell is Normal Investigator?
I don't know.
Anyone's met us, we are far from normal.
Whoa.
That was paranormal.
That was good. I like that, yeah.
Unexpected.
We are Paranormal Investigator Radio here on BBS Radio Station 2, the best on the planet.
Amen.
Obviously,
we
you're
are
here.
The best. Absolutely.
And we appreciate all five of our listeners.
No. All five? Yeah. We've got five? Really?
So, John, if you're listening. And as always, we do like the call-in thing. I'll look for the number here in a second. But you guys can introduce the late yourselves if you want.
Oh, I'm Steve Roscoe.
And Steve is wearing his fedora tonight.
No, I it's in the car. I don't
Dude, when are you going to wear that fedora? I need to see you
it's
with
the
fedora.
It's in the car. It's in the car.
Well, why don't you take it off? Your headphones will fit over your head with it on?
Exactly.
Okay.
Call toll-free in the United States or Canada at 1-888-429-5471. Again, that's 1-888-429-5471. And we have Central New York's renowned comedian, Larry O'Grady, with us.
That's funny. I'm not renowned. Hey, I have a show coming up. I'm going to plug it quick. I have a show coming up on the 16th.
God.
It's at the CNY Playhouse in Syracuse, New York. It's a choose your own charity kind of thing. So come out and support the charity of your choice. Thank you.
No, thank you, Larry.
Okay. You're welcome. I just dribbled Mountain Dew all over me.
Well, that was interesting.
I don't really know what that was. Was that the music from Ghost Sex?
It came off my computer. I hit an article. They said the new Gambit is cast for some X-Men movie. And I hit it, and all of a sudden it started playing some Androgel commercial or something. I don't know. The guy was pretty cut. He was running around the beach.
It was Channing Tatum, I guess.
Remy Gambit. Remy LeBeau.
Yes.
What's he playing?
Gambit in the new X-Men movies.
You know, the one with the deck? He throws the supercharged cards. Zip!
He's a real killer. Throws playing cards at you.
Okay. No, I go out on dates with women.
Yes!
Well, playing cards. It's just easy playing cards.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I grew up in a comic shop. We
I should have got turkey joints.
I grew up in a whorehouse.
You did not.
I've had a lot of sugar again. What else is new? I mean, I had a lot of sugar.
Pete, you always have a lot of sugar.
So this thing just disturbed me. I'm over here looking through the news over here on the Facebooks, and there was something there about some sex offender using Facebook to get into people's homes to do paranormal investigations.
Oh, really?
He was using it as an excuse to get access to people's homes.
Seriously?
Well, that's just not cool.
No.
When was this? Where was this?
Oh, I miss Bob Ross. I swear to God, I see things on Facebook and they disappear.
Yeah, what's going on? Seriously. I thought it was just me, but...
It's like, I'll read something, go back out, and it's gone.
I've had that happen to me.
Keep going.
So, you missed it. For those of you who haven't tuned into the past show, we pretty much went over how Star Trek is better than Star Wars.
Oh, sure.
We talked
absolutely.
About Bigfoot.
And Larry's shaking his head.
A couple of two-tree demons. And,
I'm pretty sure Han Solo is
a couple of two-tree demons. Hey, going to your house. I'm going to do an investigation. Yay. Hey, you know what my results? You know what I found out? You got two-tree demons in this house. You got a couple of demonic cons. We're going to take care of that for you. Boo-da-boo. Hoo-hee-hoo.
Idiot.
On that note, I'll skip the next segment. That's all you guys. Oh, dear.
But Rich and Mark, you guys didn't introduce yourselves.
Oh, he's Mark Berry.
And that's Rich Nicodem.
Hey, there you go.
So we're all formal now. We know each other, right?
And of all places, the sex offender lives in Butte, Montana.
Butte.
Huh?
It's pronounced Butte, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Butte, Montana.
Not anymore, Steve.
But if you are from Butte, Montana, give us a call, because we'd love to get a call.
from anyone.
We would love to have a listener in Montana listen to Paranormal Investigator Radio on BBS. That would be pretty awesome. Pete, tell them about the app.
14-year-old girl. We have an app?
Yeah.
BBS Radio's app.
BBS has a radio app?
Yes.
I heard you say 14-year-old girl. I'm like, Pete, tell them about the app.
I'm sorry. I don't know about the app.
Okay, for those of you with smartphones, I know it's available on the iPhone. I'm sure it's available on the Android. It is the BBS Online app, which you can pull up, and you can listen to Station 1 or Station 2 right on your smartphone. You can access the calendar for upcoming shows, follow them on Facebook, email, there's a call-in numbers, and check them out on Twitter, LinkedIn, all that kind of good stuff. It's pretty sweet.
It's an amazing resource, especially if you listen to any of the shows that are on there.
How about you guys? But the older I get, the less actual FM, like music radio I listen to. I listen to more and more like talk radio, and more of it I'm starting to listen now because now my car, I can actually Bluetooth my phone, so I got a couple stations that are like podcast stations about talk. Yeah. So it's almost, instead of just having ear candy when you drive around, it's so much better. You can actually learn something.
I don't.
Versus listening to music, you know? I mean, maybe that's because of my age or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't listen to too much real radio anymore. I listen to satellite radio now. The Sirius XM genre.
You don't even need that. With the iPhone radio, I tune the stations I want, and then I just put it in my phone and just plays for the songs.
It's really easy to get sick of the stuff that's on there now. It's all advertisements, and
it's
the same music over and over and over. You get tired of it pretty quick.
And I don't know about you guys, but I'm a little older than a lot of you guys. I just can't get into rap music.
No.
I'm sorry.
That's just...
I know XM's got some pretty good comedy stations, though.
Yes, they do.
And do you guys know that BBS has 24 hours of indie music?
Sweet.
Oh, yay, awesome. Indie music.
Yeah, some of the best music is indie music, I don't know.
Well, to show you how stupid I was, 2 years ago, I thought indie music was like Indian. What do they do? Why would I want to listen to 24 hours of it?
But do they play Iron Maiden? That's the thing. No Iron Maiden fans?
I don't know. Are they?
You guys are don't know.
I'm not.
It's not indie music.
I get it.
I still live in the Civil War, so I don't really even know what an Iron Maiden is, other than that steel thing they put over somebody's head.
Well, sometimes you listen to music, you may feel like there is a steel thing being squeezed over your head. But I'm a fan. A long time ago.
I do know about CBGB, though.
CBGB?
GBC. Is that like the heebie-jeebies?
Oh, dear, look at that. I pulled up the BBS website, and David's head is there. On Station 2. Oh, there's Rich. We still got to get the head of Steve on there.
There you go.
With the fedora.
And you guys is too.
With the fedora?
I'll just draw a happy face for mine, and you guys can just
put Billy
there.
Crystal on there.
I'm like...
Larry's kind of... I finally put my finger on him. Larry's a cross between like Jerry Seinfeld and Billy Crystal. But he's an Irish boy.
With one eyebrow.
With one eyebrow.
Yes, I was just checking to make sure that checking.
But he likes Batman, so he's good.
I would almost
heck
agree,
yeah.
I would agree with something Larry said a few weeks ago. I actually enjoy going to bed at night and watching my head movies.
Your head movies?
What?
Yeah, if I could record my head movies.
They make my eyes rain.
If we've offended anybody, please call us and let us know that you've been offended at 1-888-429-5471.
Honestly, we just don't really care, but we would like to hear
and
from
if
you
we
anyway.
And if we didn't offend you, then here goes. Just kidding. I'm not going to say anything really horribly offensive. I can't do that.
If you'd like to
know.
Be offended, please feel free to call in, and we'll make our best effort.
Oh, I would love to offend you. So call me.
1-888-429-5471.
Did you talk to
certain
Larry?
Types of people I can really offend?
I could see that'll him walking into a bar up to a girl. Man, I would like to offend you.
I would like to offend you so hard.
Dear Lord.
Not to go back to the horrible topic of the sex offender using paranormal investigation as his in for people's homes.
Why would you segue into that?
Because if the idea behind professionalism.
I just got done saying
people. So let's go back into that without offending people. We were talking about Pete, Steve, and myself were just discussing some some interesting aspects of paranormal investigating and how it can actually help you in the real world, I mean, as some would like to call it. But I think what we would discuss is, would you use your paranormal investigation time and talent and what you've learned and experience on your resume?
That is the question for tonight. Should you or should you not use your paranormal experience on your work resume? We'd like to hear from you at 1-888-429-5471, and the offer of Larry to make fun of you is still open, too. This question came up on the interwebs a couple nights ago, and I got right into the fray. Everybody was saying no. I'm like, hell yes. If you think about it, we built the company from nothing. We go into people's homes where they leave, and they leave us with their family heirlooms and their possessions. I would think just the level of trust alone that says would say something about someone's character.
I think so.
And like I was talking with Mark today, joking, I'm like, there's also a point where I would leave certain things off. I wouldn't say, well, you know, we go into the attic and we deliver wayward spirits into the next generation. Okay. You might want to leave that part out. But
which you could easily include everything else. I mean, the consultation aspect, how we're building case files. We're acting as mediators in some senses. We're literally counseling people to some degree without actually counseling, but the idea of what we're talking about anyway. I mean, our team specifically, we're formulating events, we're working events, we're dealing with volunteers. We are volunteers for all these events. What exactly?
Media relations, television,
well,
radio?
Someone who's actually, I've been manager in a company, I've hired and I fired people, and a couple key elements. If someone is in a paranormal investigation, that I think would be good as far as mentioning resume or helping you along at your job. Number one is problem solving skills. You have to go in and you have to help somebody. You have to try to solve this problem for them based on some very loose facts. Sometimes some people are like, they tell us things and we're like, it's scattered, it's all the place. Other times it's very documented and they have it down to a T. So problem solving, open-mindedness is another good thing. Which is great in the corporate world. I mean, they want to pitch an idea, and a lot of times they want everybody to open their minds up and buy into it. Teamwork. I mean, most corporations don't accomplish anything in an individual effort. It's all part of a team. So if you're a team player and you work together as a team and you have a responsibility and you do that well, that's also something very good. And Pete mentioned the whole thing about trust. Obviously, I mean, there's that confidence in you. If they're going to leave you at home with their heirlooms and they're obviously their dresser drawer full of underwear and things like that, and you don't have to worry about you snooping around doing anything, then essentially
pot stash.
You know, then there's that level of trust. So I mean, think in technical aptitude too, because obviously you're working with equipment that isn't normally built to. I mean, how much paranormal equipment do we actually have that's made and designed for paranormal investigating, or something that's designed for something else that's used in another industry?
Just the whoopee cushion and the touch lamp.
Right. Well, the whoopee cushion alone should go on your resume, Pete. I mean, that's definitely president.
That goes without
finance,
saying.
Definitely.
Whoopee cushion technician.
And so there's a lot of good set skills that come along with it.
You bring up some excellent points, especially like team building. Those are key words that people want to hear during interviews. They want to hear that. I work well with teams. I can lead a team. I can problem solve. I can risk manage. I can do this. I can do that. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, I went to one of these local job fairs, and they give you like a flash interview. It's like a 3-minute interview, which mine lasted about 35 seconds with 3 questions. The gentleman's like, tell me about yourself. I'm like, well, I've done everything from sell cars to be on national television. I'm different than everybody else in this room, and you're going to want to interview me. So I got referred. So that's all it takes, just a well-placed threat and a little cockiness. And you're
that's right.
There you go. You're in.
But yeah, I mean, 10 years ago, I might have been a lot leery about putting the paranormal on there. I mean, I probably still would because I'm that kind of weird person, but...
Well, you would put it as a ghost hunter. You'd put it as a
paranormal investigator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is more of a scientific title, if you will.
A lot of these
ghost hunter.
A lot of these groups, they have YouTube video channels. They're making and producing videos. I mean, like us, we've written books, magazine articles. I mean, I know what I do at work each day for a paycheck doesn't even, what I do in RIP just buries anything I do in my real paid job.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a money-making business now. Well, usually, if there's a will, there's a way. People, once they find out that there's money to be made in this industry, they start applying their creativity skills and things of that nature. And, I mean, I can tell you firsthand, I done financially well with the paranormal. It's contributed to my income immensely for 10 years. So, I mean, there you go. What else to say about it?
Mm-hmm. So that's where all our money's going to.
Thank you.
I think Rich is bringing us for dinner.
You want to go for dinner? Let me know. I'll buy.
Well, that's a Ming.
Hey, we go get some pasta.
Of course, it's going to go on the company credit card. But
and I'll ask you how your business is doing just so you can deduct it.
Yeah, exactly.
Now it's a business denter. Denter.
Denter.
Denter.
Denter.
Denty more.
Yes. So.
It's the time between lunch and breakfast. Denter. Wait a minute, that made no sense.
Amazes me financially for making money are these conventions. It still blows my mind that they have these big horror, sci-fi, paranormal conventions and the paranormal components being accepted into it as a big part of it. It's just, and not only can they make money, but they're fun. They're a good time. I mean, we have all been personally involved in them ourselves, so we know that they're a lot of work and essentially, you know, I mean, but essentially, promoters, usually when they start these kind of things, don't make money the first few years because of the overhead. And then, you know, there's got to be some point where it starts to get them out of the red and put them into the black. But we know. We've done events.
I'll brag about our group. I mean, not of, with the exception of television's para-celebrities, we are a very entertaining lot. Now that we have Larry, we can pair Larry with Mike. We can probably get some really good music videos going. I know we have a couple of Mike.
Yeah. What do you mean with Mike? I wasn't paying attention to what you guys were saying.
Mike is an expert lip syncer. Mike is an expert lip
syncer. I'll have to find a video back out of archive.
Big Journey fan.
Yes.
Oh, man. And what do I have to do with it?
Well, you're going to dance. You'll be the dancer.
Well, then.
Larry, we let you do whatever you want to do. You want to tell a joke?
No. Do I want to tell a
joke?
Come on,
you know us by now.
Do I want to tell a joke? I do want to talk about something. All right, the last set I did. Listen, I told this one joke last Thursday, and it killed, all right? The place was packed, it killed. I told the same joke on Sunday, crickets. Nothing. It was the most uncomfortable thing. I had one douchebag looking at me. Just in the front row.
Oh, sorry,
row,
was that the joke?
In the front row, just staring at me the whole time I'm talking. Just staring. And that's all he's doing. No smile, no looks on his face. The place is full of hipsters. Just these hipsters that are so like, I'm so independent and deep. You look like every other idiot with skinny jeans. You look the same. You all look the same. You're not independent. You all look the same. You dress all the same. They're all staring at me. And I've got some of my stuff can be like that I do in my sets can be really offensive, but no. it's stand-up comedy. So if you didn't want to listen to it, go outside. This guy's staring at me and he's talking to his girlfriend. Who does that in the front row? Just apparently in the front row. He's just sitting there, and then the time he's opening his mouth is when he's talking to his freak show girlfriend.
Oh, so you're one of those insult comedians like Lisa
Lampanelli,
huh?
No, not at all. Not at all. This guy got me going, though. The last 2 seconds, you know what I said when I got off stage? I said, thanks, I'm Larry O'Grady, bye. And I put the mic in the stand and walked out and just left. That's what I did. See you later. Ugh.
Yes, I'm going to go to a stand-up comedian and sit there and not laugh and keep poking myself so I get angry.
At least, like, fake a smile on your face. You don't sit there 3 feet away from someone, literally three feet away from someone and just stare at him with this ugly puss on your face. You got a square head anyways.
Can I pass a joke along to you, Larry?
Tell us how you really feel, Larry.
I hate this guy.
Can I pass a joke along to you that I used to use on people like that when I did it for that short period? You know, you should wear a condom on your head, because if you're going to act like a dick, you might as well look like one.
I ask him if they've been drinking, I ask him if they're driving home, and if they say no, I go, oh, I'm so bummed out about that. I act really disappointed about it.
And oh, Larry.
I know.
Larry.
Comedian and paranormal investigator.
Heck yeah.
And fun time personality. So basically, you want this 300-pounder to wear skinny jeans Friday night to your event?
Don't. Don't do that.
Little Harry Potter
for
glasses.
For your sake, don't wear skinny jeans ever in your life.
I have no intention.
I don't encourage skinny jeans for anybody.
Aren't they leggings at that point?
I don't know. Like I don't know why. I don't get it. I don't. Oh, God. These kids.
Ugh. Pants are built to be comfortable as far as I'm concerned.
I got my comfy jeans.
Comfortable.
Are they blue or are they purple? They're probably purple, aren't they?
My comfy jeans?
No, these kids were wearing these hipsters.
No. But I'm just saying, in general, like, it was a little coffee house, and everyone's just sitting there, and they're just staring at me because they're so deep, and they don't want to laugh at anything, and they just... They're waiting for someone to play their live music, just waiting to get this guy off the stage. Shut up.
What, they like beatniks? Remember?
That's what they are. That's pretty much what they are. So that's what I spent. I did my 10 minutes and 48 seconds in like 7.5 minutes because I zipped through because I didn't want to deal with it anymore.
Wow.
You need to have us show up. We'll
you need to do your comedy in a bar. People are get some alcohol in them. They loosen up, you know.
That's like Thursday nights when I go over, when I go to Syracuse, George O'Day's, it's free comedy in Syracuse, New York. Go there Thursday nights at 7:30-ish. But that's what everybody does. Everybody, it's a bar. Everyone goes there. It's all comedy. And everybody has a great time. But whatever.
Just don't wear skinny jeans when Larry does a set.
I swear to God, if you wear skinny jeans and you're sitting your friggin' face in front of me.
We're all going to have to wear skinny jeans now. We're going to have to go see his show. And
then
wear
then show.
Yeah, your skinny jeans fit pretty comfortably when you don't have a dick.
1-888-429-5471.
I think some of us would consider skinny jeans that we haven't put on in about 10 years.
Exactly.
It's a physical impossibility for some of us. Talking about Iron Maidens.
I just don't know why you'd want to. Your boys all
bunched up
there,
like
you know
that.
What I'm saying?
It's got to be uncomfortable. It's got to. And how do you put them on? How do you even take them off?
I don't know.
Like they're going to go inside out, like taking off a rubber glove. That's so weird.
Survival life. You just buy a new pair.
WD-40.
Yeah, right? Get a stick of butter.
Usually have to jump off the second floor of a building into them, but.
When I see the kids in skinny jeans, all it reminds me of is Kramer on Seinfeld when he had the tight jeans on.
Oh, yeah.
And he was walking, and they're trying to get him
dungarees,
off of him.
Dungarees, Larry. Dungarees.
Oh,
there's
man.
There's a difference. Well, I feel the same way with the big guys that walk around that are V-shaped with the T-shirt that doesn't fit with their nipples that are like...
I'm nipple man.
The gorillas.
My favorite are the great big fat guys that cut the sleeves off of their shirts. I work in auto parts retail, too, so I see a lot of this. These guys, they cut off the sleeves of their shirt. They're great big fat guys, and they cut the sleeves off, and it's an Under Armour shirt. My favorite is it's an Under Armour. You're not fooling anybody. You haven't been to the gym in about 10 years. All right? Under Armour, you're going to wear an Under Armour shirt? Boy, you look like you work out, don't you, buddy?
Cut off the sleeves. There's only like that much of a sleeve.
The tap-out shirts. Oh, you do a lot of cage fighting, do you? You look like a cage fighter. Stupid.
No, they do cage the chickens before they go to KFC.
Yeah.
1-888-429-5471. I don't think we've talked about anything paranormal yet.
No.
Somebody call and give us something to say about paranormal. Here, I'll talk about something.
You terrified them now. They don't want to call in.
I'm not going to.
Oh, my God, I've got skinny jeans. If I call, he's going to know.
How would I know?
He's going to know I'm wearing skinny jeans.
He's going to know I'm wearing skinny jeans. I could tell by your voice, too.
Oh, so the cops know, too, Larry.
So about paranormal research. Wait a minute. Are you wearing skinny jeans right now? No. I'm sure you're not. Speak up. Sit up
we
straight.
We have a call. Brian from Rome.
Oh, hey.
Or Brain.
Hey, guys. Just have something to say. You know, as a 450-pound guy that's about 6'5", I think I'm going to wear skinny jeans to his next show.
I can't. We can't hear you. Hang on. Hang on. We can't hear you.
There you go.
Oh.
Okay.
I was going to say, being, you know, 6'5" and about 450 pounds, I think I'm going to go to his next stage show. I'm going to wear skinny jeans.
Oh, great.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. Please do it. It's going to be on the 16th at the CNY Playhouse in Syracuse. I hope I see you there.
front row. Make sure you're in the front row.
And you got to stare at him and not laugh at one joke.
Yeah, just stare. Just go to a comedy. Just go to a comedy show and stare at the person.
Put your sleeves off.
I can scowl, too, with over a glass of milk if you want to.
There you go. If I'm not mistaken, he'll be the one with a very impressive beard.
Who?
Gentleman who's going to be coming to your next show.
Do I know him? Do I know you?
I do. Then I might have to go with it.
Oh, okay.
I'll cut the sleeves off of my shirts.
Yay. Make sure you do that.
I'd also like to give a shout out to Raven, who's listening and murdering people on Surgeon Simulator during your show.
Simulcasting on Twitch.
Who's murdering her?
Yes. Wow.
Did you just call her?
For the longest time, I wanted to give her and all her listeners a shout out that listened to us, and we really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Reese.
Yeah, no problem, man. Talk to you guys later.
All right.
See ya.
Thanks for the call. Take
care.
So the paranormal in skinny jeans is a new subject.
You know, that might not work, skinny jeans and paranormal investigation, because if you really see something that's really going to bother you, how can you run?
I'm not worried about running. So I'm worried about where that load going to go. When it scares the crap out of you, where's it going to go?
Yeah,
I'm more concerned about my sperm count. That's what I'm concerned about. Not that I've got anything
Who
to do with it.
Who needs that? I'd chop them both off if I had the money to do so. Who needs? I don't need it. I'm not having kids. Who needs that? Whatever.
Well, you're not doing something right there, then.
That's why I try to drink as much Mountain Dew as possible, because I hear that it lowers that sperm count, and I don't need that. Me and a friend of mine, we were in Georgia.
Oh, boy. I don't want to hear this one.
My friends, I'm not saying any names. My friend's sister, she is a, what is it called? A fertilization technician. Where
what?
She helps people who can't have kids.
Is that at the spank bank?
And, well, yeah. So she does sperm counts. So me and my friend had a spermathon to see how much each of us could get. And I blew every, so to speak, I blew everybody out of the water. Everybody out
I'm
of
sure
the water.
Don at BBS is rolling his eyes.
My sperm count was so high, it was scary because I guess, like, if you have super high sperm count, you get, like, testicular cancer, I guess. But, hey, I won.
You won. Right about now, there's about a dozen people looking through the computer going, I thought this was Paranormal Investigator Radio.
It is. This is still Paranormal Investigator Radio.
It's all part of the life cycle here.
So, hey, let's
1-888-429-5471.
What time is it?
If you'd like to share your testicular sperm count with us, please don't.
Bigfoot and skinny jeans.
Bigfoot and skinny jeans.
I had this thought, and this is paranormal, so this is gonna. I had a thought about. Do you know how people say there's elementals, and like forest spirits and things like that? Now I had an idea. Maybe all of this energy that the forest gives off is one of those things that stays in there. Like, okay, I have this written down here. The possibility that a forest demonic or elemental entity's main source of energy it uses to manifest may come from the natural field of energy the forest produces itself. It may be possible that the older the forest, the higher the field generated by the forest. So much so that it develops a consciousness, so to speak. That's why the older the forest, though that forest is spooky looking, it's probably going to be haunted, like old houses. Old houses, they look haunted, and you'll go into one and it's, oh, well, there's theories to back that up. There's like the iron oxide enigma and things like that that can account for old spooky looking houses to actually be haunted.
That's possible, I suppose.
So sort of like the suicide forest in Japan?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just all negative energy?
That's crazy shit. That's crazy. I have you seen videos of like ghost videos on that?
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts. People, there's tents that people just that's the last few minutes of their lives. They were in a tent for a little while. Pictures of the family and.
If you guys have ever heard of that, there's a forest in Japan where people go to and commit suicide. I've never.
Yeah, it's some bad mojo in that forest.
Look it up.
Oh yeah,
it's bad news.
Part of the belief is that even just going there to go camping with no intention of doing so, before you leave, you end up killing yourself. I mean, there's no people don't just go there to commit suicide. They go there and commit suicide, whether they wanted to or not. That's part of how that plays out. Like they did military drills there at one point in time, but a lot of the soldiers had serious issues, and some of them killed themselves in the forest.
Really, I didn't know that.
That's according to story. I don't know how much of that's accurate, but that's what was been relayed.
Well, and you know places like Iceland, they have actual laws protecting elementals and fairies and all these things. And it makes you wonder where these things come from. I have that same feeling with dragons. It's like they must have existed at some point. There's an awful many stories over such a long period of time.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's like the movie creature that you're seeing. They must have had some kind of methane exchange where they could melt something or with their saliva.
I like that.
Or
methane exchange. I like that.
Better way than saying mouth fart.
Mouth fart.
Well, I mean,
no,
with electrical impulses that are that biologically you give off,
you could ignite some.
You could ignite
gas,
something. You know, I mean, it's fun to think about. But
there are ideas, but, and when it comes down to the dragon aspect, there are ideas that it's believed there are two chemicals they make similar to like our salival glands, and they're forced up through the throat and out through a very like how the spitting cobra spits.
Yeah, yeah.
Same concept, but it spits a very tight stream, and then it would have an electrical impulse, like you had suggested, that would ignite it on its way out of the mouth, creating a gout of flame.
Yeah.
Whether it's true, again, we have no proof of that.
Yeah, but it's fun to think. It's something like that's kind of fun to, like, scientifically think about it and narrow it down and break it apart.
Some people say that, you know, dragons were just dinosaurs, and who's to say that these fossils weren't necessarily dragons? Their wings would have decayed.
Yeah, yeah.
So it could
have
been.
But you know what? They found out that a lot of these dinosaurs that we know of now would be scary and creepy, like, just scary looking, did have feathers. Like, feathers are, there are feathers that are fossilized. Velociraptors, the Tyrannosaurus Rex now had a down. There's,
I believe to, yeah.
There's a whole bunch of evidence proving that.
Our common view of Jurassic Park dinosaurs isn't quite right, is what they're trying to tell us finally.
There's a new one coming out.
I believe it. They always said that. I mean, we're basing fossilization, like the rebuilds of the fossils, on ideas, not necessarily anything. Nothing was truly found in the form it was in until more recently. So who knows?
With the technology we have now, where you could put a bone in a fossil inside a computer, it'll tell you age, date, how old it was, where it came from. What I mean, it's crazy.
The carbon dating.
You know, fossils are from the devil, right?
Yeah,
the world is only 5,000 years old.
They were put there by God to test our faith. I'm just kidding. I don't believe in God.
Well, it makes sense, because the first fossils weren't found until the 1600s in Scotland.
I have more.
Well, God must have put them there. Of course.
I did no such thing.
No.
But no, it is... That's a load. They've been there much longer than that, but...
Again, you got dragon, you have eels that have electricity. I mean, how the hell does that even happen? I mean...
Well, it's not sea creatures that breathe... But yes, you're right. And the bioluminescence is another one of the things. I mean, these are concepts that now we're breeding that into things. But these are ideas that we would have thought nothing of until we've had a chance to truly explore more.
Don't those floating condom things, those...
Jellyfish?
Jellyfish. Don't they give off electricity, too?
No, they have a neural stimulator, or a neural inhibitor, I think it is, in their tendrils there that cause... People think it's described as a shock. It's just your nerves dying or shutting off.
The box jellyfish, those are bad.
Especially those little ones that swim up your...
That's... Hey, yeah, I've seen the...
they close beaches and stuff for them.
Yeah.
That's why I don't like the ocean. I don't like water. I drink it, but I don't...
Speaking of the ocean, since the world is you know, so
is
much...
flat.
Since the world is so much more ocean than actual landmass and continent, I mean, we always discount alien crashes as having possibly occurred in the oceans. There have been a few movies over the last, 20, 30 years that have maybe touched on that idea. Who's to say there couldn't have been a UFO crash in the ocean? We never knew anything about it.
As a matter of fact, did you see the underwater fossilized UFO picture?
No.
I'm going to have to find that now.
You'd have to take, I mean...
Did I hit you with a zesty zinger?
That you did. Taking into account just the mass difference between water, or the water-covered and land-covered portions of the planet. The Baltic Sea anomaly.
Yeah.
That
I see it.
Looks absolutely like a rendering.
Kind of looks like a Kardashian ship.
It looks
ship.
A bit like the Ebon Hawk.
I was like, Kardashian, where is he going with it?
Did you guys see the mermaid? Did you guys... Did you guys happen to see the video of the mermaid?
The TV series?
Much smaller
bots. Yes.
It's an actual video that these underwater researchers were. I don't know what the story is behind it. They were underwater. They were like super duper deep in the ocean. And they heard something behind their pod that they were in. So they looked behind them. The camera catches. You could see face and everything. Look it up. I swear. It's amazing.
Actually. As a note for those listening, the Baltic Sea UFO looks like something straight out of Star Wars.
It does.
Star Wars, really, Mark?
Yeah, there's a ship called the Evan Hawk. It actually looks exactly like
it. Oh, really?
That. Yes.
Yeah, there was a TV series I started watching. It was actually pretty interesting about mermaids.
Oh, you're talking about the one that was, they were hunting.
I know the one right he's there. Talking yes. about.
That one. It's really close. Like, there's a part of it where it's really super close to the camera. Like, it's really close. And they're like, what was that? And it goes away.
That's interesting enough. Whoever, if it's a hoax, whoever hoaxed it took enough time to put
this has been on this. These right. guys that did this have been on, I want on CNN. They've been like, this is an actual finding that no one's recognizing.
Well, if you look at the picture of it again, if it's a hoax, it took enough time to put in the light distortion through the skin where it'd be wet.
Yeah.
So if it's a hoax, someone took their time to actually take the detail to make it look legitimate. Again, they've done the same thing with Bigfoot videos. UFO
they've done
videos.
The same.
Is it
yeah.
the one off Animal Planet? That's
yes.
Yes.
I just it's think it's the video is absolutely amazing.
On the hand, yeah.
And
it'd be nice to see again someone pursue it. And I mean, if you donate a diving vessel to the Roman Investigators of the Paranormal, a couple of us more than happy to head down there.
I'll totally go down there. Look at that. That is how insane is that? Do you know how big the ocean is?
We know more about our star system than our oceans.
It is completely possible. We could go. I was watching this video on the planets, and they were talking about our planet and dating the ice. And they went down, way down into the core of our, not into the core, but way down deep in like Antarctica. What are you guys watching? Gross.
How does they come up as a mermaid?
It's
Long Don Silver over here.
Oh, I was like, I
never
forget.
Trust
never
Google
mind.
Images, ladies and gentlemen. But it's an idea. It would be very interesting to head down and see what we could find in that area.
Oh, but this is sub-zero temperatures. These temperatures are so cold.
Yeah,
there are organisms alive. Right. They have survived.
Right.
They have adapted. Who's to say that something did not adapt down there? Who's to say that there isn't a whole, not race, but a whole.
What's to say couldn't have been one of those ships that crashed or something too? It could be
exactly.
I'm still looking at lumber liquidators here. I'm trying to get to the video.
How though can it survive crushed up though?
I don't know, but you would think that to evolve, it's going to adapt
the
over
crush,
time.
The crushed up relies primarily for our vessels. It requires us to be at a lower pressure inside than out. If these things have some kind of liquid membrane. Or they are mostly liquid. They're not an air-filled creature like we are. If they're breathing water, mm-hmm. they don't surface. They could have an entirely liquid infrastructure. They don't actually have to worry about the crushed up because there's no difference in pressure.
Yeah.
Because if you took a ship, one of our subs down there, you'd have crushed up because you're filled with oxygen. And it's this air mm-hmm. that's much, much lighter. It's much less dense. And then your ship would crush.
I just think it's these photos are absolutely amazing.
I mean, we wish they all looked more like that, but
yeah. Look at this stuff, isn't it neat? No. Wouldn't you think my collection's complete?
Larry.
1-888-429-5471. If you've ever seen a mermaid or merman, have any of you ever heard of Ethel Merman?
Ba-da-cha!
No.
There should be a more PC term for that by now, isn't there? Underwater inhabitant?
Who knows? Can't you just be a mermaid anymore?
No, of course not.
Mer-person?
Well, don't get me going on that stuff, but...
It's just an interesting idea. Same thing with everything else is more or less just another concept.
I remember my first encounter with a mermaid. It was with John Candy in the movie Splash. I don't know if any of you gentlemen have seen that.
Heck yeah.
Hey.
It had the world's most classic line. I can speak Swedish because of stag films.
Yeah.
Is that a fossil of one? A corpse?
A dead mermaid found, huh?
But see, it isn't fitting with the large black eye sockets, which would be your theory of underwater, that they never surface, they would need. Again, you have tales of sailors talking about
sure.
these things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Since the Grecians and the Phoenicians.
I mean,
and
it's
the
Romanians. Probably then taking into consideration the Greek stories and such that have had to have surfaced at some point or another to be yeah. seen by them. Which then that creates a concern. Something capable of being that far underwater, surfacing, at what point is there conflict in its structure? I mean, at what point will it become compromised?
Do you think they ate the dragons?
Did you see the video of the mermaid sighting? How do you say this? Kiryat Yam, when it was on the rock, and then they took a picture of it and swam off. It's on Animal Planet.
That's just a horrible pygmy mixed with a salmon or something.
Yeah, that's one of those sideshow make-believe. We're looking at pictures of real mermaid skeleton.
Oh, yeah.
Fossilized, mummulated things.
Yeah.
None of that's counterfeit. That's all legit.
That's not real?
No.
Well, that's the thing. From what I heard, mermaids are, like, really nasty.
Yeah,
they're not nice like we consider with it.
Then they're not what you picture in the legend and lore is very different from what you got popularized.
Splash.
Yeah. Well, even Little Mermaid, I mean, they're not.
I'd imagine it would be more of a humanoid looking, like exactly what we see in that picture. Like, that's exactly what I would figure it would look like. Just a humanoid looking, just.
You mean there's no seashell bra?
There's no seashell bra, as much as I would love for it to have red hair and seashell bra.
Yeah.
The big black eyes are fine. Keep the big black eyes, too. I love that. I like a girl when she just looks at me.
Unless she's in the front row.
Unless she's in the front row not saying anything. In that case, I'm
wearing skinny fins.
Skinny
fins. You know, skinny jeans. Yeah,
oh, you're okay. You're just busting them out at the gills today,
yeah.
Man.
Made a joke.
Take a breather.
We're going to need to.
No, if you are sitting in the front row, don't say a single thing. Just laugh or just that's all.
But no, it's an idea. I mean, to take into consideration what you'd require for something to live that far underwater with, I mean, what kind of food source even exists at that point?
Still got a butt.
The Bazoom mermaid or the Buxom.
Buxom mermaid.
Bazoom, isn't it?
Rich, what was this one you were talking about where it was on a rock?
Yeah, it's a video that I saw. It says mermaid sighting in Kiryat Yam, Animal Planet.
Israel? May 29, 2013?
I don't know. AnimalPlanet.com. I mean, it's right, if you go to Google and type video of a mermaid, it's like, am I on page one or page two? I'm on page two.
So what would they eat? Fish?
It makes you wonder. I mean, at the depth
plankton.
That they were at in that...
Fish.
Plankton, maybe?
Sustaining on plankton at that size of a creature could be a pain without having some massive
maybe
mouth.
It's got some kind of filtration
whales
system
do.
Like
in its mouth.
Like the whales have bleed,
taking into consideration the amount
yeah.
of liquid it's pulling in to do that, though. Hey, it's possible. I don't... Heck, maybe they have nets or something.
But to make them look female-ish with the hair and the eyes and everything when they're down underwater almost all the time, it just... That's Hollywood for you.
Right.
Though those stories do go back, talking about the mermaids luring the sailors
yeah.
into the rocks and stuff
oh,
like that.
Into their doom or what have you.
When you're
yes.
out to sea that long with
Rich,
just a bunch of other sailors, everything starts to look a little
Serena?
Good,
so. Serena.
And Serena? Is that what you said, Serena?
No, it's K-I-R-Y-A-T, then the
okay.
word yam, Y-A-M.
I like yams.
Yam. Yam.
Candy yam.
But it's two hikers, and then they look over and they see it on the rock, and then they
you know what? I know what you're talking about. I see it.
They zoom in on it, and then all of a sudden you see it, and then just
it
jumps
is.
Off the rock into the water.
Let's face it. If you live in salt water and you're there for your entire life, you're really not going to be that attractive.
No.
Going to have a salty disposition.
Yes, huh? Very much so.
What do you think predators are for a mermaid? Because everything has a predator. Sharks?
Probably. I would imagine sharks. I mean, they don't have a tough time going after seals or anything.
But what depth was this thing seen at?
That's right, yeah.
Because,
yeah,
again, yeah, a shark would be way too high.
Yeah.
You have some squids are down there.
Maybe it has few predators.
Maybe at that depth, they're the apex predator.
Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe, you know. But then again, what else beside them could live down there?
We're just watching the Yim Yam video here.
Did you see it? I should say, did you find it?
It is a good question, though. I mean, what would be... Everything does have a predator. What would be their primary predator, do you think? And again, sharks maybe... I mean, if they're that deep, if it was the depth...
Why don't they zoom in?
It would be too far. As if on cue, Larry. As if on cue.
Well, you may think, like, a mermaid may be down in those depths, but they may come up to the warmer water, the less depth.
Right.
You know?
Which
I mean,
is possible.
You know. And that's when they run into, obviously, predators.
Man looks absolutely so fake. I don't know.
I'd call that CGI unless I get a chance to actually break it down.
That's the problem with everything that's on the internet when you see
this
a video.
It could be CGI
it's
now.
It's CGI, yes, or a hoax, and that's the problem. Does it look cool? Yeah. Is it real? Who knows?
It's just because everything's been inundated with all this junk. I mean,
we're gonna get to some point. You're not gonna be able to tell anything that's real or fake anymore. It's just
So then, what are we gonna do?
We're already almost at
we're
that
just
point.
Gonna say, yep, that's a ghost.
With everything or being deny posted, everything. I mean, you have the guy posting hundreds of videos of UFOs attacking things using old military footage. I mean, it's the same problem. People are posting constant things like that. It takes away from what the rest of us are trying to do.
Yes.
So if we ever got real footage of a mermaid, what are we gonna do with it? I mean, we can't post it anywhere because they're gonna jump on it and say CGI. If I was given the raw footage raw footage from the original file from that, I could tell you it wasn't edited. I'd be able to go through it and then give it some kind of credibility.
Yeah.
Until then, it's on YouTube, so what proof do I have? And that's why, I mean, some of these things, like photographs or these other footage of alien stuff, give me the raw footage. I'll be more than happy to break it down. I know if it's been edited once I have the original file. I can tell you whether or not it's been edited in any way or if it's been falsified, at least for the most part, unless you're spending millions of dollars on building a fake UFO to fly up there to make a hoax. Then that's... you're wasting a lot of money. But
well, have you guys seen the UFO Roswell alien autopsy one?
Yes,
no,
I have.
That's been declared one of the greatest hoaxes of all time.
Yes.
That's one worth watching because even I think they had Steven Spielberg and a couple other people watch it and they said they couldn't even tell if it was hoaxed or not. They made sure everything that was within film range was from 1946 or before. There was nothing in that room that was out of date.
Someone did their homework. If it's a hoax, someone did their homework. Someone did it just perfectly.
Even the clock on the wall, the particular tray that held the medical utensils. I mean, they went through every piece of the...
It's
another one of those videos that you're like...
It's been declared one of the greatest hoaxes of all time, but no one's proved it's truly a hoax. The only reason it's still being considered a hoax is because no one's proved it's truly real. And for someone to do that, you'd have to have like a government agency admit that they actually had footage, and that's never going to happen.
That's never going to happen.
So it comes down to maybe it was leaked footage. But then again, we reach that point where we have no credibility to offer for that.
No matter what you put on the internet for proof of anything is going to be scrutinized.
Absolutely.
You know? So.
Yeah, if you get a chance, Rich, like that's like a 12-minute video.
It is very interesting.
It is a very good video.
And it's not out of focus. That's the problem. It's not.
It was filmed like it was supposed to be filmed.
Right. It was actually, if it was hoaxed, it was filmed with a camera of the time because it's got the same flaws those cameras had, the same hiccups they had, everything. So it's very well done if it's a hoax. But then again, there's a simple parody somebody did of it, which was very similar, but the alien spewed Skittles when they were over. So you never know. It is a good video to watch.
Well, even that UFO one that was on last week, we talked about on the last show, the UFO that attacked the Taliban stronghold in Afghanistan. It looks good. It's impressive, but spoiler alert out there for all of you, we did our research. The combat footage is real. It's actually from Iraq, I think, 2010 or 2012. And it's actually flipped horizontally to look different. But the footage and the explosion are real. Now, the triangle with all the laser beams and lights...
Not so much.
Although I've had arguments with other people that that is real. It's just two different films spliced together.
Now everybody's got a great video editing software they can get on their Mac or the PC. Yeah. And Adobe, you can Adobe, do anything nowadays.
Adobe Creative Cloud for $30 a month, and you have access to a full suite of After Effects and DreamWorks and other such that, because you can make whatever you want. Photoshop, and there's no question at that point.
That's the problem with online dating is Photoshop. Photoshop's available to everyone. I've gone on a lot of dates where I've had to belt to the bathroom and look at my phone and say, I don't recall her having a unibrow or a mustache or an Adam's apple.
Yeah, you got to watch for the Adam's apple.
There's actually a very good video of someone photoshopping a slice of pizza into a bikini-clad woman. It starts as a slice of pizza and it becomes a bikini-clad woman. It's just him changing various things. But
I don't know what to make of that, Pete. Like,
it's probably an actual sea fossil.
It is not the Millennium Falcon.
Somebody who's studied a little bit about fossils, it probably is an animal fossil of some type.
It could be.
A shell or some.
I don't... The detail on it's ridiculous, though, too.
Well, you know, this is...
Who's to say that something? Who's to say that something millions of years ago didn't try to come to our planet before we were around and crashed? It's been there. It's fossilized. There it is. You know, who's to say? But then who's to say it's real? Like, it's...
Right. Again, it comes to that problem to some degree. When you have things of that high quality, you have to really kind of question it. You have to know where it came from. But there are some things out there that is plain absolutely false. I mean, and you just have to... Like, if you have somebody post a video of Bigfoot running across the screen, you can distinctly see a zipper. He's wearing a pair of Nikes. Yeah. And at that point, you immediately just you know, push it to the side.
But. You know what I saw? I saw this on, you know that show Fact or Faked?
Yes.
They go and they do different things. There was one video they tried to disprove of this guy seeing Bigfoot, and it was on a hillside. And their dog, they were camping, and their dog started barking. And they're like, what are you barking at? And they looked. I've seen that. And they see someone running across the hillside, and they zoomed in with their camera, and the strides that this guy is taking, if it is fake, are gigantic. So they had one of the guys in the crew of this show go up there and try to cover the same amount of ground in the same amount of time. And
didn't the guy fall and almost break his leg?
Well, I don't know about that, but he couldn't. They duplicated. Like, he couldn't.
It was either that video or the original, maybe there, that they duplicated the stride using somebody on stilts. And they just said it was absurdly uncomfortable to do, but it was possible.
Oh, really?
It might have been. I don't think it might have been the original video that they had, where the creature was walking very off balance.
Yeah.
In a way, they said a man could never walk, but somebody duplicated it wearing stilts. It was very uncomfortable.
I mean, if you see the family, and they're talking to them about it, you're like, man, I totally want to believe him. But then there are actors that are really good. So,
Right. Well, then again, too, I mean, who's to say some random punk kid wasn't out there in a freaking rented gorilla suit, so people saw Bigfoot to them, but they don't know it was just some random kid, and they can't follow up on it because they don't have one. I think running around the woods in a Bigfoot suit is going to get you shot, so I wouldn't suggest it to anybody. But
it's going to get you shot. Someone's going to think it's a bear stepping up to him, and they're going to shoot him,
or think it's Bigfoot and shoot him because they want the $1 million.
Yeah, right.
$10 million.
I think that shouldn't. I don't think it's a $10 million bounty on Bigfoot's head.
Let's Let's stop the ghost thing because that's only $1 million to the James Randi Foundation. Let's go now for the Bigfoot thing because it's a bounty.
Whitehall. Guys, pack up your SUVs. I'll get some beef jerky and pizza.
If we're going for $10 million, I'm headed to the Pacific Northwest.
I think it should be less dead. I think they should give him less money if he comes back dead. More money alive.
So what we do?
Chain that son of a bitch up like Kong.
We get a really big box, like a crate, a shipping crate, and some Jack Link's jerky. We leave it out and see if we can catch him.
Messing with Sasquatch.
This is my favorite commercial still.
Well, for $10 million, I would lay naked in the middle of the woods if that would attract him. I mean, I'm a hairy beast, so I know I'm not the same height, but you might think I'm just a willing woman and ready to
the mating call.
Squatch.
There's a whole lot I would do for $10 million. Please call in and
make suggestions.
Find out what it is, Larry. You'll do.
Ask me. Ask me what I'd do for $10 million.
You got 2 minutes.
You got 2 minutes.
1-888-429-5471. Find out what Larry will do for $10 million.
I have no shame.
You will.
Not for $10 million. I agree with Larry.
Let's be real. $1,000.
Wow, that's a huge discount, dude.
Let's be real.
It's going from $10 million to $1,000.
I got to pay the bills.
$1,000.
Larry's going to troll Utica streets after this, I think.
Well, wow. I understand where you're coming from, because when I was getting checked out in Las Vegas by the two oil men from the Mideast, I was thinking about $3 million in cash and my own bodyguard in the room. But what happens in Vegas ends up on YouTube.
That's not a good thing.
No.
So, Rich, we were talking. We need to organize the world's biggest paranormal convention in Las Vegas. Can we
in
pull
Las
it
Vegas,
off?
The convention capital of the world?
Yeah. SpookCon. No, we'd get in trouble with that. SheetCon.
You'd sheet get in trouble con. For that one, sir.
SheetCon?
Sheet? You know, sheet? Like, sheet. Like a sheet, like a, like sheet, like a sheet. Bed sheet?
Yeah.
You'll get in trouble for that, too. Yeah. You don't call it SpookCon. You don't call it SheetCon, okay? You're going to get the wrong crowd. You're going to get the wrong crowd coming, and that's not good.
You know, there's a good thing and a bad thing about doing a convention in Vegas. Number one, you can usually, if you have it in Vegas, you usually get people to come out to it because it's Vegas.
Oh, sure.
However, the bad part of it is there's too many distractions. You go out to Vegas, how much time are you going to actually spend at the convention versus out on the casino floors? I know, I went to one and a lot of the time when we had the convention floor hours, there were a lot of missing people because as I was getting up to go to breakfast, they were just coming in for the night.
Wow.
So, in like, they're not going to be at 10 o'clock in the morning. They would show up at like 2, 3 in the afternoon. So, again, it's a great thing. It brought everyone out because everybody wanted to go to Vegas. But, again, attendance was weird because people wanted to go gamble and see the shows and chase down prostitutes. So,
Jesus, Mary, and Harry. Now they got that $55 all-you-can-eat at the multiple buffets through the whole day. I wouldn't be in any convention.
Oh, I'd be at the, buffet a lot. Yes, by the end of the afternoon.
Especially where it's the only place in the world that sells drinks by the yard. I mean,
the yard.
I had 2 yards of Long Island iced tea and I was off in the Atlantic Ocean. Let me tell you. Well, we burned through another one, gentlemen.
Wow, that went quick.
That did go quick.
So let me, you guys close out while I find some closure music here. Nah,
I don't think we can. anyone can bring closure to tonight's episode.
No,
our listeners.
There's no
so just take one thing away from this: don't wear skinny jeans.
No, skinny jeans and the paranormal.
Infernal Larry, no skinny jeans.
Hey, thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, thank you very
Again,
much.
Again, another eventful night on Paranormal Investigator Radio.
I personally thank you. I'm Peter M. Leonard.
I'm Steve Roscoe.
I'm Mark Berry.
I'm Rich Nicodem.
And I'm Larry O'Grady.
Skinny jeans to you.
Ew.
Joining us for this episode of Paranormal Investigator Radio. Be sure to visit us online at paranormalinvestigatorradio.com. Until next time, happy hunting and stay spooky.